Hello and welcome to the British Equestrian Podcast. We are back with part two of our concussion series. Hopefully you listened to the first part, but if not, make sure you go back and you listen to it. You can find it wherever you found this episode. So in that episode, I was joined by Ash Wallace from our World Class program, and we sort of delved into the nitty-gritty side of actually what concussion is and some of the kind of the medical side of what it can actually do to your body. And don't worry, I'm making this sound very, very technical. It really wasn't. It was really interesting, really engaging. So I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Today, Ash is back. She's joining me again. I'm taking up some of her weekend. And also a very special guest as well. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what it's like to actually suffer from concussion, what it feels like, and what that recovery process might look like as well in real world terms. So let me introduce both my guests. As I've mentioned, Ash Wallace is back. She is our World Class Programs Athlete Health Lead and Lead Human Physio, and she takes the lead on concussion for our World Class athletes. And she's based at the UK Sports Institute at Bisham Abbey. Welcome back, Ash.
Thanks very much, Rach. It's good to be back. Looking forward to another a good chat this afternoon.
And joining Ash and I is the one and only Laura Collett. She is one of Britain's most successful eventers at the moment. She's got European and Olympic team gold medals to her name and 3 5-star titles, all with the wonderful London 52. And she has definitely got the Paris Olympic Games in her sights for this season. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, thank you for having me. Very interesting chat to have. And yeah, looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Well, let's dive straight into this then. Ash, for those who maybe haven't listened to that first episode yet, do you want to give us a kind of a super quick spin through actually what concussion is before we start talking too much about it?
I can absolutely do that. So, very briefly, the medical term or what we consider concussion to be is a mild traumatic brain injury. And really, what that means with concussion, what you suffer is a short-term loss of function of some of your brain function. And I think the important differentiation between this and other more traumatic brain injuries is that it's just a functional loss, not a structural. So one of the I think it's sometimes why people don't take concussion seriously is if you do a scan, if you do an MRI or a CT scan, you can't see it. So there's no actual damage to structure, but there's absolutely disordered function. And that's what I'm sure, are going to explore a little bit this afternoon with Laura's experience of having had that dysfunction.
Yeah, well, as you say that, I mean, it's something as equestrians, most of us have experienced at some point or another to varying degrees of seriousness. And something that we did discuss as well in the previous episode is the range of symptoms that you can have with concussion. It's very different. We all experience it in a very different way for a number of different reasons. As Ash mentioned there, Laura, you yourself, you've had concussion. Do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about some of the symptoms that you had with that?
Yeah, so the kind of first proper concussion I had was when I had a very bad fall back in 2013. And I was, kind of out cold and had lots of other injuries. But when I did come round and that the biggest thing it's only looking back on it now that you realize quite how bad you were. And it's things like I would feel like I really needed to just go to sleep in the middle of the day after doing very minor efforts and riding one horse and then feeling like I needed to have a little lie down and then would fall asleep and then wake up and the same thing over and over again. And it wasn't until I kind of was 100% back to normal that you then realize quite how much it had taken out of me. And because you can still do things like Ash was saying, it nothing shows up on scans and things, you convince yourself that you are fine. But like I said, it's suddenly you're back to 100% fine and you realize you really probably shouldn't have been doing a lot of the things that you were trying to do. And that was a real eye-opener for me. I think because I hadn't had it any form of concussion before, and there were a lot of other things, and obviously I just wanted to get back riding as soon as possible, and things like I feel a little bit dizzy after I'd had a lie down, getting back up would sort of take me, a minute or two to feel like I was back in the room, and little things like that that you just brush to the side and maybe don't realize quite how significant and how relevant they are. You just want to get back riding and pretend it's not but that's definitely it was obviously quite a severe form of concussion that time, and the only other time that I would say I've had very mild concussion, like I wasn't actually out cold or anything like that, but it really felt I hit the ground, and I felt like it's a, you know, and everyone says, oh, you see stars, and it genuinely did feel like the whole, you know, place was spinning, probably not for very long, but it definitely took me by surprise at, God, it was almost like I needed my eyes to focus on something because they felt like they were rolling around the back of my head, and then suddenly I was, you know, okay, that's fine, I'm okay. But again, looking back on it, for the next probably week or two, I was very, very tired, even though I wasn't really doing anything to warrant being tired. But I would feel exhausted just from doing, you know, very basic tasks. And again, after a couple of weeks, when you feel fully back to normal, you think, gosh, that really wasn't, I wasn't myself. And I think it's something definitely that we need to be more aware of. And just because you're not actually knocked out doesn't mean you don't have concussion.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a very, very key point. That's a proper sort of myth there that we're busting. I mean, personally, from my own experience, when I've had it, and I had a similar thing, I fell off a horse, hit my head, had that sort of stars moment, and then I picked myself up and I was like, no, it's fine, we're okay. Didn't get back on the horse, I hasten to add, but I did have to walk it home because it was a very young one. It was the first time anyone had fallen off it. It was a bit woo. But anyway, thought I was absolutely fine. It was only when I got in the car later that night to do a drive I did very regularly all the time and realized I got an hour the wrong way up the motorway that I thought, actually, yeah,
wow,
maybe there's something wrong here. Maybe number one, shouldn't be driving, and number two, probably hit my head harder than I thought I did. And I think that's probably quite a key point with this concussion thing is, as you say, you have that initial knock that causes the injury, but those signs and symptoms do keep coming in the period afterwards. And I imagine that's probably something you experienced as well, Laura. You were sort of saying that week afterwards where things were popping up and you were feeling very out of sorts.
Yeah, definitely. And because we're, you know, we're so used to just, you know, brushing ourselves off and getting back on and carrying on like nothing's happened. But I think it's the one thing that we do need to take a bit more seriously, because like everyone kind of just assumes that you have to be knocked out to get concussion. And I think that's probably
Absolutely.
The key part, and the thing that I've learned the most is that it's not a case of, you know, if you're absolutely knocked out, that means you've got concussion. It can be other forms as well, and it actually affects you a lot more. Like a very minor, what you think is a very minor concussion can actually have knock-on effects for the next couple of weeks, and that's, you know, something that we need to be aware of and actually, you know, look into and take a bit more seriously.
I think what you've described there, Laura, is it's an absolutely common theme, is exactly that. And I wrote these words down saying, looking back at it now, and that's what I often hear from riders. Mm. And you're right. And, you know, as I said yesterday on the podcast, this is not about wrapping everyone in cotton wool, because we all want to get out there and we want to carry on with our lives. But and both of you recollecting those stories, fortunately, didn't go on to have I'm sure you probably did get on and go back to riding too early, because there was probably no, in 2013, there wasn't a lot of guidance out there. But the risk then of another fall and another injury is certainly what we're trying to prevent and what we're trying to raise the awareness. And I'll always reiterate, this is not about cocooning riders or any sports people, but it's about really making sure that we do manage this properly so that people make a full recovery. Because, you know, we know from what's happening with many rugby players coming forward now and years later are now suing, you know, RFU and very, very saying, you know, I was forced to go back on by a coach. And what I'm really passionate about is just educating everyone from our leaders to our coaches to parents to really, really taking this seriously, because there can be particularly with significant, if you have another head injury within a short period of time, is what impact does that have on the brain? And we don't know that yet. And we haven't done enough research and work in this area to know what the risks are. But we do know if we manage concussions well in the first 10 to 14 days, you can really mitigate all of those risks. And that's what this is about.
Yeah, I think as you say that's, obviously that big accident you had, Laura, in 2013, things have moved on a lot since then, and that's a good thing. We've done a lot of research into this. Sports such as rugby are really leading the field in work into concussion and what's to come. And within the equestrian world, that's definitely something that we need to start taking advantage of. And obviously we're starting to. We're very much doing a lot of education, as evidenced by the fact that we're here on this podcast talking about it. But there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more we can learn, and we've just got to keep paying attention to the research that's being done out there in other sports and then applying it here. Obviously, we are a very unique sport. It's not a contact sport in the same way that rugby is, but we are getting on very, big, powerful animals who like to chuck us around a bit more than we might want them to. It happens to all of us. And as we say, that doesn't have to be because you're riding. It could be on the ground as well. And by being aware of what we should be doing in the event of a concussion, we can help to protect those around us as well as ourselves. Let's look a bit about the recovery then, because as we've mentioned here, it's quite a prolonged process. It takes a while to sort of feel back to normal. And what should that then be? What should that be looking like then, in a recovery process?
I think for me, as we spoke about in detail, the recovery process, the first, I always speak about the first sort of 48 hours being the most important. And already, as you said, Laura, is recognizing, and it's why we talk about recognizing those symptoms, because everything that many injuries that we have, we can do an X-ray, we can do a scan, we can actually see what the structural damage is. But because we can't with concussion, we have to rely on the symptoms. So exactly as you said, the symptoms that you experienced, your potentially nausea, headache, blurred vision, dizziness, you spoke about it very clearly around feeling in that fog and feeling fatigued. And that we know is because it has a massive impact on our metabolic energy. And that's really what the first 48 hours are about, is recognizing that you've had this major, so structures, your gray and white matter move at different speeds, which is why when you have this acceleration deceleration injury, you stretch neurons in your brain. And basically what happens is you have this chaos happening, which is why you get all these weird and wonderful symptoms, sometimes for a really short period of time. But you do, and it's because you've got this electrical chaos going on in the brain. So the first 48 hours is respecting that. And what do we do? And certainly back in 2013, the advice would have been to you to go into a dark room and to stay there for 48 hours and stay in your bed and don't move. And we've fortunately learned that that is actually not what is best practice. So what we want, though, is we do want to limit your exposure to what you're doing. So your start of recovery is making sure that you've removed the person, that there's someone with them, making sure, keeping an eye on what their signs are, how the person is, making sure they're hydrated. My first advice always is also around making sure that you absolutely don't have caffeine and you absolutely don't have alcohol. Both of those are stimulants and can absolutely impair the impact and slow your recovery down from a concussion. From your immediate management, no anti-inflammatories, because you don't want to mask what's happening, and certainly anti-inflammatories can make some of that worse. So you want to avoid any kind of drugs in the first 48 hours, and monitor yourself is absolutely key. So resting and advice I always give is as I say, we've moved away from not doing anything and really passive. But what my advice would have been to you back in 2013, or certainly now if it happened again, is actually be really aware of what symptoms have you got and then what activity makes it worse. Now, you said in one of the times just getting out of bed would make you feel dizzy. So we know that that's a fairly low level of exercise or movement. So it means that by you being aware of that and thinking, okay, well, did the dizziness last for 30 seconds? In which case, actually, you can push on and move around. But if you get up and you're dizzy for 3 to 4 minutes, that's pretty severe dizziness. So therefore, that is sometime when I'd say, well, you need to actually not be running around. You need to be limiting your walking. You need to be, you know, if you pick up your phone or if you look at television, does that increase the dizziness? So being aware of what your symptoms are, being aware of how bad those symptoms are, and then being aware of what makes it worse. And the rule of thumb, and most, some people struggle with when you say I'm a 0 to 10, where 0 is I feel nothing, and 10 is obviously this is absolutely awful. How much does whatever you're exposing yourself to increase that? So if I get up and I'm a little bit dizzy, as I said, for 30 seconds, and it's quite mild, and you know, once you focus on something, everything stops spinning, then that would be sort of 1 or 2 out of 10. But if you get up and you're dizzy for 3 or 4 minutes and you're really feeling like I'm going to topple over, my balance is affected, that would probably be more on your 6 to 7 scale. So what you need to be mindful of, and what I try and teach everyone, is if you're aware of that, then you can really monitor yourself really well as what's making you worse. And if it does, then back off from that and find what your limit is. So that's the first 48 hours. Diet, I think there's a lot of evidence coming to light now around things like your eating clean, so not pro-inflammatory. So I'd always be encouraging riders to say, you know, eat lots of greens, try not to have anything where you're loading your body too much, because their brain, whilst it hasn't got a structural injury, it is trying really hard to get this metabolic balance back. So you want to try and just be kind to yourself, certainly for the first 48 hours. And then really important that you do start doing some activity again. And again, this is probably the biggest difference compared to how we used to manage concussions. It used to be very passive, you know, literally bed rest and then do as little as possible for 5 to 10 days. Whereas now we're saying light activity is helpful because it actually helps the circulation of the brain. But as long as that activity isn't increasing your symptoms by more than 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Does that make sense? Does that sort of resonate with you, Laura? If you think about way back, I know it's going back a while, 11 years into 2013, but with that, could you kind of recognize doing things that perhaps did make it a lot worse, but of course you didn't know to back off?
Yeah, definitely. And I think because back then, because I was in the coma for a week, so in my head, by the time I came round, the concussion was irrelevant, but it obviously wasn't. But back then I was just, you know, well, you know, I've slept for a week, so I must be fine. So I think definitely looking back on it now, then yes, there are certain things that would definitely make it worse. And there were, I definitely ignored the symptoms rather than actually thinking about it and doing something different or less or anything like that to help. I think a question I have now is, with the fact that like I would feel like I wanted to go to sleep all the time, are you better to allow yourself, because is that your body telling you needs time to recover, are you better to actually go to sleep if you obviously if you can have a, you know, a power nap through the day to let your body recover, or are you better to stick to a sleeping pattern of just sleep at nighttime and keep yourself awake in the day?
That's a great question. I think and that symptom of fatigue can go on for weeks and weeks. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. What I would always want, and without going into detail of something like a circadian rhythm, what I'd be saying, and fortunately most riders are up early in the morning. You do get exposed to early morning sun when the sun is shining. So getting back into what your body's natural rhythm, I think, is really important. And as you say, trying to get back into a normal sleep pattern. But absolutely, there's such good evidence after something like a concussion, but just generally management after illness and so on, if there is that fatigue, what would have been really good would have been to have a power nap. So that sort of 30 minute, not going into a full cycle of sleep. So not more than, we would recommend not more than 45 minutes. And certainly if you're going into anything near to 90 minutes, that's when you're going to a full sleep cycle. And that can then be very disruptive in the evening. So yes, the advice now would absolutely have been, you know, listen to your body, have a nap, get it recovered. And also what we'd complete, the focus would be on, are you hydrated? Are we making sure you're getting the right food into your body? Are you staying? One of the things that brains need, and they need a lot of glucose. So riders generally tend to get really depleted. We tend to, train in the morning and not eat because you're so busy doing what you do. And one of the things that I'd be absolutely saying to you now is making sure, because some of that fatigue may well have been because you were depleting your energy stores. So making sure that you're having the right kind of fluid, not just water, but having electrolytes in it, but then also having your carbs at a certain time. And we've just learned so much over the last few years. And then also making sure that you are, from a nutrition point of view, having small, regular food intakes throughout. But yes, I would have absolutely said you haven't listened to your body. And probably what we normally find is that time, because your cortisol is dropping quite massively, is the nap time would normally be around half past 1, 2 o'clock, that you would probably feel really fatigued. And that would have been really impactful to help to have a nap. Great
That's
question. Great question. But yes, for those listening, important.
very, very important. Now, the experience of having the concussion, did it surprise you, Laura, how much it affected you?
Yeah, definitely. I would say probably more the what I would have said the mild concussion, because I wasn't knocked out. I wasn't so like I was like I can't be concussed, but the symptoms and the way it affected me, and for how long, it was probably 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks before I really felt fully okay again. And I think that really surprised me, and made me kind of think, well, this is maybe more serious than I'd first thought, because yes, I'd had a fall, but I was absolutely fine in my head, because I hadn't broken anything. I hadn't injured anything. I didn't need any
Yeah.
time off, but clearly I actually had a bit of concussion, and that probably shocked me the most, because it was a bit of a nothing type fall, because nothing else was injured. So us riders go, well, if we're not broken, if there's nothing to see on, we're saying on an X-ray, that we carry on. I was shocked at how much I struggled to try and act normal, as in ride as many horses as I was used to riding, and compete as much as I was, due to compete. And that was a real wake-up call for me.
And do you think now
Yeah.
that sort of having gone through that, you'd maybe have picked up on it a bit quicker if it happened again? Or like, do you think you learned from that experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I hope I don't have to ever put any of it into practice, again, touch wood and all of that. But yeah, obviously, it happens, and I think we need to recognize the symptoms more, that and realize, like we were saying, that just because you can't see anything on an X-ray or on a piece of paper, or somebody telling you, I think that's probably the hardest thing, is that no one can tell you
Percent,
how
yeah,
bad
100%.
or your thing.
Yeah,
And so you have to be the responsible person. And I know personally, I'm not a very responsible person when it comes to looking after myself. I'm very good at looking after my horses and other people. But yeah, and that's the thing, because nobody else can see or tell you how you feel, you have to be the one to take it seriously and do the right thing by you.
Yeah, well, I think
I
that's a
think that, yeah, sorry, Rach. Yeah, I was just going to say that's great advice, Laura. I think I couldn't agree more, which is why we want to try and really educate around. And you are right with what you say. Everyone, and this is often what people push back, say, oh, well, everyone will get better within 3 or 4 weeks. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is in those, and you have been, and you've spoken about a couple of things, which I think is just important to highlight, is the innocuousness of that kind of injury. So it doesn't, also everyone thinks that you need to hit your head in order to have a concussion. But because it's a jelly-like substance, often it can be a really bad blow to the shoulder, where you landed on your shoulder and you get this back and forth movement, which causes the same, exactly the same impact on your brain, and the shearing effect and this stretching of these neurons in your brain. And I think 100%, we know that people, and the studies that have been done now, we know it takes, from that metabolic energy point of view, about 21 days for that to come in. The research that's been done is it takes about 21 days to come back to normal. And as you know, we've said, and I've said before, you were very lucky in that period of time that nothing else happened. My biggest concern would have been had you had another fall in that period of time, hit your head again. And it's those risks that we need to mitigate. And one of the things that I will say, definitely for any of the world-class program riders, is that's why we are able to do in our environment, we're able to do what we call a SCAT-6. So we can see what your baseline is of cognitive, of balance, of your symptoms, so that we can, if it gets reported in, we can accelerate that by doing the right things. And if someone is, we get a score on the SCAT and we can redo it again. And once you return to baseline, you can go back to normal, which is why we're so keen that everyone should report it. As I've said before, not to wrap everyone in cotton wool, but in our world-class program to get people back quicker. And obviously doing it safely and mindfully. But for everyone else, it's pretty hard to go and do to get a SCAT done. But that information is available. And I think, as you say, Laura, it's everyone's responsibility. And by educating everyone, it's also, I'm sure it's happened to you, I see it happen all the time to athletes across many sports, is the pressure that coaches in your world, perhaps owners, perhaps, you know, in that real pressure to, oh, go on, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, get on and carry on. And we need to, that's what this is about, is elevating that awareness that actually you're better off. It's not about not doing anything, but it's about pacing and about understanding what makes you worse to back off so that you don't, it doesn't take 3 to 4 weeks. We can get you back to normal a lot quicker.
Definitely. And if you're listening at home, and obviously you don't have access to all these, the world-class program and all the professionals that come with that, it's very key to make sure that you're working with a proper medical professional as you go through this concussion recovery process, and they can guide you on that and help you get back in the saddle or back to whatever it is that you want to do as quickly as possible and as safely as possible as well. It's, you know, as Laura said, it's something that we ourselves have to identify initially, but once we've done that, it's very much, you know, don't go through it alone. Get a network of people around you who can help you do that safely. This has been a really interesting chat. It's been really great to actually talk about some of the lived experiences around concussion. Obviously, I say that our previous episode was very sort of factual and very interesting, but it's definitely that's why we were keen to do this, was to get a bit of first-hand experience here, which Laura has very, very kindly shared with us. As I said, we've got a lot of stuff going on around concussion at the moment. So make sure you go to the British Equestrian website, britishequestrian.org.uk, where there's some really useful guidelines there around concussion. We've also got a digital version of our fold-out cards, which you may have seen. They cover the 4 R's process of everything you should do if you suspect a concussion. The key 4 R's of recognize, remove, recover, and return as well to activity. And that lists all... There we go. I'd remembered it. Was well. But yes, that lists everything you should do and all those symptoms that we've talked about as well. So it's a really useful resource. You can download the digital version on the website, or you can send a stamped addressed envelope to our offices and we will send you an actual physical card to keep in your pocket, on the yard, in the tack room, in the lorry, wherever it is most useful for you. As we kind of wrap up here, we've got just a couple of minutes left before this recording cuts out. But Laura or Ash, have you got anything else you'd like to add in at the last minute, maybe a sort of a take-home message for people?
My take-home message is definitely really get to recognize the symptoms, and we will be putting that out onto social media. And equally the signs for people around you. If you so we have a responsibility both for others around us as well as for yourself, but the evidence is if you're still having symptoms, whether it's dizziness, nausea, feeling unstable, etc., about 7 days post the concussion, please get hold of your GP. There's a real government push now in the last 2 years to make sure. Generally, we're really quite poor in this being recognized and taken seriously in A&E as well. They kind of tend to say, well, you know, you haven't got a fracture, you haven't got a bleed on the brain, go home. So again, as Laura said, that responsibility of self is really important. But then if you are still having symptoms, get hold of a physio. If you Google physios to deal with concussion, there are clinics throughout the country. We are going to share some of that in Manchester, Birmingham and London that really are experts in concussion management. And then your GP, if you are having symptoms that go on for more than 7 days, certainly in children, symptoms over 5 days, you should be contacting a professional, and just to steer you in the right direction so that everything you're doing in that early stage helps you recover 100%.
Thank you, Ash.
And I think my go-to sort of thing to take home would be to be honest with yourself. Don't try and brush things under the carpet, and actually you know exactly what 100% right feels like, and you've got to recognize when you're not at that same working at 100% yourself, and that's when you've got to do something about it.
Brilliant. Very well put there. Well, that is this episode wrapping up. As I say, if you haven't listened to the first concussion episode, make sure you do. You can find it wherever it is that you found this one. It's really, really good listening. And of course, some of the other brilliant topics that we've covered so far this year. There were some great episodes on Equine Health Week, lots and lots of different things you can do there to help your horse's well-being. We also had Female Health February as well, where we covered lots and lots of female health topics that were, well, really important to helping us all feel right and enjoy our time in the saddle. We will have plenty more episodes on a whole range of topics coming up in the future. So make sure you are following the podcast and following along, and we hope to hear from you soon.